What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to the channel. Tonight's terrifying story is about this guy who just wanted to be a chef. He went to culinary school and wanted to work in like a five-star hotel restaurant type of deal. But a lot of these positions want experience. And without getting your foot in the door, you can never get that experience, so you're S-O-L. All caps. It's almost like you need to know somebody. Anyways, he gets a job as a diver. But not just any diver. He's got to clean the algae and all the bacteria and all the nastiness that loves to call the ship's hull its home and wants to stay there rent-free. But he gets this assignment on this big rig ship in the deep ocean water. And when he's down there, the dark blackness of the water is the least of his worries. Stay tuned, subscribe, let me know what you think down in the comments, and let's get spooky. I didn't plan on becoming a diver. Not really. It was one of those things you fall into because the thing you actually wanted doesn't fall back, no matter how long you wait for it. I kept thinking something would open up eventually, something closer to what I had studied, but nothing ever did. I wanted to cook. A real kitchen, the kind where everything is loud and hot and fast, where people shout your name like it matters. I studied for it, finished the course. Even got good enough that my instructors told me I had a chance if I stuck with it. But chance doesn't pay rent, and restaurants don't hire people who don't already know what they're doing. Every place I applied to wanted experience. Experience needed a job. A job needed experience. It loops like that until you either get lucky or give up. Bills don't wait either. So I took what I could get. Something steady. Something that didn't ask too many questions. It wasn't what I imagined doing with my life, but it paid enough and it came with training. And what I got was underwater maintenance. I'm telling you, it's not that bad. That's what Rico said the first week. We're sitting at the edge of the dock with our legs hanging over the water that looked darker than it should have been, even in daylight. It smelled like rust and fuel, like something that never really washed away, no matter how often the tide came in. "You just clean?" I asked. "Yeah." "That's it?" "That's it." He said it like it was obvious. Like I was overthinking something simple. I looked down at the water again, watching the way it barely moved, just small ripples tapping against the wood. "Under there?" I said. Rico shrugged. "Where else are the barnacles gonna be?" The job sounds simple when people explain it. Hull cleaning. That's the official term. You scrape off barnacles, algae, and whatever else decides a ship is a good place to stay. It keeps the vessel moving efficiently, reduces drag, saves fuel, and all that technical stuff that matters to people who never have to actually go down there. But no one tells you what it feels like to be under something that big. The first time I went down, I genuinely thought the ship was going to fall on me. I know that doesn't make sense. It's buoyant. It's supported by the water, by physics that doesn't suddenly stop working because you're underneath it. But none of that matters when you're there, looking up at something that stretches farther than your light can reach. It doesn't feel like it was floating. It felt like it was dragging. And the longer you stay under it, the more it starts to feel like it's just waiting. You'll get used to it, Rico said through the comms during the first dive. I'm not used to it, I said. You're alive, right? Yeah. Then you're getting used to it. The early jobs were easy. Dock work, mostly. Shallow water. Murky, but manageable. With enough light filtering through that you never felt completely cut off. You always had a line. Always had a clear path back up. Always knew where you were. You scrape, you move, you come back up. Routine. Routine matters more than people think in this kind of work. When everything around you is dark and unfamiliar, it's the only thing that keeps your head from drifting somewhere it shouldn't. You hold on to it because it's the only part that still feels normal. It keeps you grounded when nothing else does. About 3 months in, I got my first open water assignment. It was a cargo ship, big enough that it didn't make sense to bring it into a port just for cleaning. It stayed anchored offshore, far enough that the water changed color before you even reached it. Why not just dock it? I asked. Rico laughed. You know how much that costs? No. Exactly. The captain's name was Alvarez. He didn't look like a captain, not in the way you would expect. No uniform, no polished shoes, just a worn shirt and face that looked like it had spent years staring into sunlight and squinting through problems.
You the new guy? He asked.
Yeah. He looked at me for a second longer than necessary, like he was checking for something specific.
You panic?
No.
You lie?
I hesitated. He smiled just a little.
Good. Means you think first.
The water out there was different. It wasn't just darker in color, like the light couldn't reach as far. It felt heavier somehow, like it had weight to it. The kind of weight you don't notice until you're already inside it. And by then, it's too late to compare it to anything else. You'll be fine, Rico said while checking my gear. Same as always, just deeper. How deep? 40 meters, give or take. That's not same as always. He tightened one of the straps and tapped the tank. Relax, you've trained for worse. Training's not real, I said.
Neither is panic, he replied,
until you make it real. The first descent felt normal enough. Cold hit first, then pressure. Then that narrowing of vision as your world shrinks down to whatever your light touches. I kept my breathing steady. In, out, in, out.
Comms check.
Alvarez said. Loud and clear.
You reached the hole yet?
Almost. The ship did not appear all at once. It never does. It starts as a shape, then a shadow, then something that blocks out the little light you had left. Then suddenly it's just there. Steel. Endless and quiet. Jesus. I muttered.
Big, right? Rico said.
Doesn't feel real.
It is. Start on the port side.
I turned on the scraper and pressed it against the hull. The vibration traveled up my arm, familiar enough to settle me. Barnacles cracked away in clusters, breaking loose like they always do. That part felt normal. Time passes differently when you're down there. You don't know how much to measure it by. No real sense of change beyond your own breathing and the steady rhythm of your work. After a while, it stops feeling like time at all and starts feeling like you've just been there longer than you should be.
How's it looking? Alvarez asked.
Standard buildup, I said. Nothing unusual. There was nothing unusual about it. At least, that's what I told them when they asked, and what I told myself while I kept working. It stayed that way long enough for me to believe it. Then I saw the first patch. Small, clean, too clean. Did someone start this already? I asked.
No, Rico said.
You're the first down there.
I ran my glove over it. It wasn't scraped. It didn't have the roughness you would expect from metal that's been cleaned. It felt worn.
It's probably current, Rico said. Water hits certain angles harder.
It made sense. The explanation fit cleanly, like something I could just hold on to if I didn't think too hard about it. But it didn't feel right when I was actually there, touching it. I moved on anyway. That's the thing about this job. You learn to ignore what doesn't fit as long as it doesn't stop you from working. Then I heard something. Not loud, not clear. Just enough to notice.
Did you hear that? I asked.
Hear what?
I listened again.
Nothing. Don't chase sounds, Alvarez said.
So I didn't. But I started noticing more. The barnacles weren't random anymore. Some of them formed lines. Loose patterns that didn't feel accidental. The clean patches appeared more often, spaced out like gaps between something I couldn't quite see. It didn't feel empty down there. I've been in dark water before, and there's a difference between empty space and something that just looks empty. This felt like the second one. Like something was there, even if I couldn't see it. I kept working anyway. Routine. That's what I told myself. Until I found the marks. They were larger than the patches, deeper than anything that should have been caused by current or debris. They looked like something I'd pressed against the hole over and over again, leaving shapes that didn't quite match anything I knew.
Pull back, Alvarez said.
I did. And for a second, I thought they moved. I told myself they didn't. I told myself a lot of things. When I came back up, I didn't argue when they told me to go down again. Because part of me already knew something was wrong. The second dive is worse. You don't have curiosity anymore, just awareness. You know what you saw, and you know you're going back to it. I dropped again. Cold. Pressure. Dark. The hole came back into view, and so did the patches.
Do the section you skipped, Alvarez said.
I didn't want to, but I did. The scraper didn't catch on it. It slid like there was nothing there to remove. Then something tapped from the other side. Not loud, not aggressive. Just there. I froze.
That's not possible, Alvarez said.
But it happened again. I touched the surface again, and this time it didn't feel like metal. It felt like something in between. I told myself it was residue. I told myself it was anything else. Then I found the part that was peeling. Layers lifting like something underneath was pushing outward. I touched it. It bent too easily. And underneath, there wasn't just darkness. There was depth. I leaned closer, and for a moment, something inside shifted. I didn't understand what I saw. I didn't think I was meant to. "There's something in there," I said.
"Come back up,"
Alvarez replied immediately. This time, I didn't hesitate. I turned and grabbed the line. Halfway up, it went tight. Not tangled, not caught. Held. I didn't move after that. Not because I was told to, but because something in me just locked up completely. It felt like moving would mean acknowledging something I wasn't ready to understand yet. "Cut the line," I said. They argued. Then they didn't. The tension vanished, and I went up fast. Too fast. Something followed. It didn't rush or panic. It didn't move like it needed to catch me. It just stayed behind me at the same distance, like it already knew I wasn't getting away. I didn't look back on the way up. Every part of me wanted to, just to confirm what I already felt was there, but I knew that would make it worse. Some things are easier to deal with when you don't give them a shape. When I surfaced, I told them the truth. "It wasn't stuck," I said. "Something was holding it." They didn't argue. That was the worst part. We left after that, and I quit 2 days later. I didn't give a reason, and they didn't ask for one. It should have ended there. It didn't. Last week, I saw the ship again. Docked. Clean. Too clean. I walked closer before I realized I was doing it. Something about it pulled me in, like unfinished business I didn't want but couldn't ignore. I looked over the edge. The patches were still there. More of them now, spaced out, deliberate, like gaps or space. And as I stared, one of them shifted slightly. Just enough to notice. Just enough to understand. I left immediately. I haven't gone near open water since. But sometimes at night, when everything is quiet, I still hear it. Not tapping, not knocking. Just there, at the edge of hearing. Like it's still holding on to something. A thought that the ocean is not empty, as it seems.